Welcome to Pleb Chain Radio, a live show brought to you by Plebs for Plebs, which focuses on the intersection of Nostr and Bitcoin protocols. Join QW and Avi as they run down the weekly news and developments, breaking down the current thing and the future frontier with the foundation of decentralization, the builders, thinkers, doers, and plebs. All right, we are live.
Welcome, gentle plebs, to episode number 92 of Plebchain Radio. Today is Friday, the 20th of December, and it is 4:58 p.m. on the east coast of the United States at the time of recording. We have a fun show ahead of you today. Jason Sellers, curator of the 21 Questions book, joins us to talk about the old 21 Questions book and the new upcoming one. Just a reminder that if you are listening to this show on Apple or Spotify, first of all, thank you for listening, but I would urge you to hit pause and switch over to the Fountain podcasting app, where you can earn some sats and support the value for value revolution as you listen.
And Avi, let me just stop you there, because they have been listening. Our Fountain stats on our analytics side, we went from like 48% Fountain users to now up to 88%. And what we're also seeing is Apple and Spotify, those are dwindling. So we are winning, sir. Value for value is winning. It's not just a conversation. It's not a feeling. It's literally in statistics. So there you go, Avi.
Yeah, and QW, I was remiss in the intro for not saying it is the most wonderful time of year. It is NGU season, and to your point, QW, it's NGU in many, many ways.
Avi, do you have the chart pulled up? You waiting for it to go over 100K again?
This is the last time, QW.
I can't believe we will never see Bitcoin under 100K again. It's crazy.
I know. I know. Breaks my heart. Our show is recorded live on NostrNess and streamed live on Zap.stream or any other Nostr client that supports streaming, such as Amethyst, Nostr, and others. And for our meme readout, QW, I'm going with a template we haven't used before. It's the Robert De Niro and Joaquin Phoenix two-frame meme from the Joker movie, the old one. And the top frame is Robert De Niro representing the Congress of the United States saying, "Let me get this straight. You actually think it's funny to let us run out of funds and shut down?" And then you have in the second frame, Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker representing the people of the United States saying, "I do, and I'm tired of everyone pretending it isn't." And with that,
are they passing that bill today, Avi? Is our good Fed friends that are listening right now, are they going to get their paychecks for Christmas?
We'll have to wait and see, QW. By the time a majority of our listeners are listening to this podcast, the answer will be known.
We might see a considerable drop because I would imagine a lot of our listeners are just feds at this point. What do you think?
Yeah, the Fountain bills add up. Yeah, they might have to cut the cord on Fountain.
That's hilarious. Sermon, unless you have anything to add. Well, I do want to talk a culture corner. So did you catch any of the live stream of Sats by Southwest?
I did catch a little bit of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was great to see. So last year, Sats by Southwest, it was like sponsored by Boostergram Ball. And for those who don't know, the Boostergram Ball and Adam Curry, obviously the podfather, it's been a podcasting 2.0 culture for a decade. I mean, for a long time. Lightning did escalate the culture of value for value in the Boostergrams. But it was one of the first times that I've seen where Adam was the MC this go around. And that whole Boostergram versus Zap was a running theme, because they had a total, they had leaderboards, they had Zap counts, and it just seems silly to have that Boostergram versus Zaps, and I think it really just comes down to Nostr came about, LNURL came about, so it created this. These are Zaps. It's really easy. It's in the Nostr side of things. Then you had the Boostergrams, which has been on the existing cultural revolution of the podcasting value for value movement. But Adam is somewhat of a figurehead. I guess you could say he's definitely a leader in the podcasting 2.0 value for value space. And coming out of that 2-day event, where there was obviously the workshops and panels, but then the following day with the musicians, who, by the way, made like 5.5 million sats, something around there. So they got paid more through value for value sats from across the globe than they would actually performing at the venue. So that just kind of gives you the amount of potential that value for value has, and it does work at scale. But coming out of that, he did note on Nostr. By the way, he's starting to use Nostr more. Something that I noticed that maybe he was idle for a while. He was maybe starting to think about the technology and whether it applies. But his note says, "I am convinced RSS and Nostr belong together. Somehow they got separated at birth. Now that we are moving Boost to LNURLP, the integration is unavoidable, bullish." So to me, this is much more than just technology. This is kind of merging cultures, factions, I suppose, and just kind of understanding that there's a bigger purpose for all of us, and especially as the creators, the artists, us technology buffs or, revolutionists, we might not be musicians. And ultimately, a night like that was made for them. So it's something that I think we all come together for a bigger purpose. And that's making value for value work, no matter the technology. And may the best technology win, right?
Yeah, it is. It's always seemed odd to me that there's this fragmentation in an open protocol like Lightning, between Boostergrams and Zaps. I mean, at the end of the day, what settles in the end user's wallet is still sats. So it has been odd to me that we've had this differentiation. Obviously, it's more of a technology implementation than a cultural one. And it's good to see some overtures being made to address that. And QW, you and I, you especially for PlebChain Radio, have been tinkering with the next generation in RSS, which is also part of this convergence, right, of Nostr and RSS. We're looking into, and in fact, we will be switching over very soon to RSS Blue. And at some point in the second half of January, we'll have the creator of RSS Blue on the show to actually talk through at an ELI 5 level on the difference between all of these different technologies and how they ultimately impact the end user.
Right, right. And there's also this push. It's interesting because there's definitely a heavy Bitcoin purist vibe in the podcasting 2.0 scene, where you have the node runners that, these despise LNURL, maybe just, it's kind of the same cultural rifts you see in the Bitcoin pleb community. And you know what? It is what it is. I think for a musician, if they're going to get purple pilled, orange pilled, it has to be convenient. And that's how we grow. And I think the next step from there is understanding that it's just education and risk assessment, whether it's cold storage, whether it's a node running, being sovereign on your own Lightning node. I mean, these things come in time, but it's not something that is sellable right at the beginning. They're already kind of saying, "What the hell's Bitcoin? And I just want to play guitar, man." So it's interesting. It never dawned on me until I kind of watched the conversations, and that's what I love about Nostr too, is the open conversations, chronological. So you feel like you're in these conversations, because they're happening in real time. But it's just something as a voyeur, you know, you can learn a lot and just kind of have those aha moments. So it's cool to be a part of this. And I think we're all going to grow from it. And that show, with the amount of conversation afterwards, and obviously the proof in the pudding, the amount of Bitcoin that was moved, it just further confirms how bullish I am on the podcasting 2.0, the space that we're in, Avi, that we stumbled upon.
Yeah, well, lots to look forward to on that, KW.
Yeah, so that's kind of our sermon too. But another thing is, congratulations, Avi, I and me as well. In the past week, we both had our 2-year Nostraversary. So you know, we were part of that great hatching. Anything you want to reflect on?
KW, let me make sure I understand. You're congratulating me on not losing my NSEC in a boating accident for 2 years.
Yeah. Yet. Yeah.
Yet. No, look, it's been, I mean, when I created that NSEC on December 15th of 2022 and posted my first note on Dharmas, one of the very early versions of Dharmas back then, little did I know that 2 years later, I'd be hosting a podcast, KW, and talking to some of the biggest builders and in the space and to KW. So it's, you know, it's been a fun ride. Certainly, there have been ups and downs. There have been points in time in the last 2 years when I've looked at the ebbs and flows of the quality of discourse happening on Nostr and wondered if this thing, where this thing is headed. And then something new happens that rekindles the faith, rekindles the reason why I stuck around in the first place. So yeah, it's been a fun ride, and I'm here for the next 2 years at least.
Yeah, and I mean, you're kind of stuck here with the show, Avi. You know, we did sign that contract.
Yes, apparently so.
So yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, a lot of this, I think about my son, because he was literally my wife was about to pop when I first signed up, and I had so much spare time, and you know, he doesn't know a world without Nostr. It's just crazy. I mean, you say time flies when you see your kid, pictures of him a year ago, and you're like, my God, look how big he is now. And, you know, that's kind of how the Nostr protocol is too. You know, it was in his infancy when we came. Now we're literally zapping musicians at a live concert from across the globe. So I think we're really
all boosting. Boosting.
Yeah, or boosting. So it's just in a way, it's a little bit of a metaphor. And I'm with you, man. I like, you know, there's ebbs and flows. Sometimes it gets boring. Sometimes it gets exciting. You know, it all evens out in the end. And you know, there's certain dramatic things that happen that we cling on to as a culture, and it's hilarious. But it's just fun. And just, you know, if you've need to take a week off, Avi, take a week off, but not the show. It's contractually agreed.
The show must go on. That is true.
But that's it. Happy Nostraversary. And I know you're coming up on, and you've been hitting the fiat mines hard. You're coming up on a 2-week break. I'm going to be kind of working because it's weird weeks, but mentally I'll be on my 2-week break as well. So.
Yeah, a much needed 2-week break for me, KW. The fiat mines have been absolutely brutal of late. And it is weird with when we joke about NGU season, right? But I'm nowhere close to NGU taking me to Valhalla, probably a 10, maybe 15x bump from here before I reach Valhalla. But the fact is, it's been 6x from the rock bottom of the bear market. And once we cross that psychological barrier of 100K, you know, it's, as to me anyway, inching closer to the promised land, and the fiat mines start getting worse.
The promised land, you mean the Costa Rican beach where you can be half naked and post from Primal all day?
Apparently, that is a thing. That is a thing on Nostra these days.
Start doing holistic healing and and sunning your perennials.
Yeah, that's so. To some, that is Valhalla. I have a slightly different definition, but let's just say it's far. It's not that close. I wouldn't think. And the fiat mines are not making it any easier. So the 2 week break is much welcome.
And anybody that doesn't know, Nostra has a little bit of a surge in some fun accounts and. Yeah, just check it out. You'll see. You'll know what I mean. It's hilarious, but it just ebbs and flows. At one point, Avi, remember when we had the? You know what? Let's get our guest on, and we'll talk about this because something tells me he knows as well. I'd like to welcome to the show, Avi, Jason Sellers.
Hello,
Jason. There's a burning question. Did your nostrich egg hatch the same day as mine?
Oh, you know what? I haven't looked that up to find out.
I did.
2 days ago, yesterday, 2 days.
December 19th, 22.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were separated at birth.
Reunited at last.
Probably. It'd be, you know, you don't know. I mean, I am anon, but we might be identical. We'll find out one day. So do you remember when we had the what did we call them, the e-girls? Remember that surge, Jason?
Oh, I remember a lot of awful. I tried to block them out, honestly. I remember a lot of how do I put this delicately, a lot of anatomy images that were being spammed to people.
Non-family friendly content, Jason. I think that's what we call it around.
Human anatomy things that I didn't want to know.
We had a little TikTok surge. We've had the e-girl surge. We've had the grow Nostr permaculture surge. And you know what? Some of this stuff is sticky. Some of the culture, like permaculture, was a sticky one to Nostr. So there's certain things that that really correlate with I guess the pleb community.
Can I just say one thing since we're reminiscing here, QW? A faction of Nostra that was incredibly dear to my heart, which unfortunately doesn't seem to exist, barely exists today, is
the Pokemon.
The weird Nostra faction, QW, they used to be truly surreal accounts who you and I both used to interact with in the early days of Nostra. Remember horse? Remember chicken breast? Those that doesn't happen anymore. Now it's all these half-naked people, primal influencers from Costa Rica sunning their family jewels.
That was a great post. And shout out Corn DeLorean for slapping that on a... what looks like a casting couch of Odell. So there you go. Oh man. Okay. Well, that was fun. I figured since we shared birthdays, we'd at least reminisce a bit. So tell us your backstory, Jason. How did you get here? Where did you find your plebhood?
Oh wow. Well, yeah. So let's just tell people a little bit about myself. I'm a father of six children, all homeschooled. Let's see. I think both me and my wife were prepared for Bitcoin for a long time before the white paper came around. And let's see. Oh, yeah. We live near Chattanooga, Tennessee, northern Georgia. So it's like a little south of Chattanooga. And back in 2015 is when I stumbled onto Bitcoin. Okay, that's not true. 2014, early 2014, I heard the word Bitcoin one time and I was told it was a scam and thought, okay, whatever that is, it's a scam. A year and a half later, mid 2015, stumbled on it again, went down the rabbit hole, was totally, just totally sucked down that rabbit hole. I don't believe in coincidences. And just 2 days before I stumbled onto Bitcoin in mid 2015, I finished listening to the audiobook of The Creature from Jekyll Island. And so when I stumbled onto Bitcoin and started to realize, hang on, there's something really good here. I started getting that orange glow of hope, you know? It was about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, something like that, of studying it before I realized, yeah, this is the solution. If the Federal Reserve and other central banks like that are the problem, Bitcoin's the solution. Well, a little while after that, I got a job around here as a FedEx delivery driver, and I was listening to, my favorite thing about that job actually was I got the chance to listen to a lot of podcasts and audiobooks. So then I got to really just like fill up my brain with knowledge about Bitcoin stuff all the time. But then it was, it was 2018, listened to the Bitcoin Standard audiobook. I learned about time preference, and I got like a whole new reason to love Bitcoin, all about like improving ourselves, lowering our time preference, things like that. And from then on, I really wanted to do something in this space, but I couldn't. I was trapped in my fiat job, and it wasn't the kind of fiat job that would really allow me to do anything else outside of that. It was long hours, and I'd come home just exhausted. And so I could listen to podcasts, but that's about it. So it was like a receiver of everything in Bitcoin, but not giving anything. I was able to squeeze in a little bit of time. I started up a group on a website called MeWe. It's like a social media that like specializes in privacy and stuff. Anyway, so started a Bitcoin group there. Just wanted to educate people, wanted to give back to the community, share some of the tools that I had learned and heard of. But then in late 2021, I had a medical condition come up. I won't go into it really, that made it so I couldn't drive for FedEx anymore and deliver packages for them anymore. So I had to look for other work. In the time that I suddenly now had a lot of time on my hands, I started up a Bitcoin meetup. First, I attended a crypto meetup around here in the Chattanooga area just to see if it was any good. It was awful. And so I was like, nope, this is not for me. This is all, cryptos and stuff. And I wanted to create a Bitcoin only meetup. And so started that a little over 3 years ago, Bitcoin Chat with 2 T's. And then a little after that, I got a job working at NOAA, which has a Bitcoin wallet, Bitcoin Lightning, and I think like Tether now, something like that. But, they're mainly gearing it to people in like developing nations and stuff. So I worked there for a little while, then started getting involved in my free time with the Spirit of Satoshi. If anyone listening to this hasn't heard of that, it is a large language model like ChatGPT, but instead of trained on, I guess, more woke resources and stuff, it was trained to think, I put that in huge quotes, speak like a Bitcoin maximalist. So part of my job was to actually gather together a bunch of Bitcoiners, people who, they would answer some questions and really seemed like I would vet them and really seem like if they were a Bitcoin maxi, then they could start training the Spirit of Satoshi. The goal then of the Spirit of Satoshi was to have an AI that people could ask questions about Bitcoin and get answers, as we trained on everything ever said, ever written about Bitcoin. So we did that for a little while, but then when that business just wasn't panning out,
I just say, I feel like it should be, Spirit of Satoshi is like a ChatGPT.
Yeah. So it's like ChatGPT, but trained on everything. It's like
a Chad GPT.
Yes.
Sounds like an ultimate Chad.
I think there is actually a Chad GPT. But
I had to insert that because I couldn't get that out of my head when you were saying that.
Yeah. No, for real though. Most of them, including ChatGPT and a bunch of others, are ChatGPT just kind of wrapped up in a thin layer of kind of Bitcoininess, but like kind of deep down it's more just regular ChatGPT. We were building the Spirit of Satoshi from the ground up. Not just taking something else and putting a different wrapper on it. Meant a lot of work, but I think what we made is pretty good. And it's still active, but we did open source it to the community because we saw that there wasn't much of a good business with that. But then around that same time, so this is about a year ago, almost a year ago, we started to switch gears from working, like the team I was working with, Sorry to switch gears from the Spirit of Satoshi to Satlantis, and that's what we're working on now. And that dove us all into the Noster space. Of course, I was already on Noster for about a year at the time. And sorry, I keep losing my train of thought. But yeah, that's what we're working on right now, the Satlantis. Oh, so during that time when I was working at Spirit of Satoshi, I got an idea to, I got an idea that eventually became the 21 Questions book. Initially, it was an idea that wouldn't have used the Spirit of Satoshi really at all, but I was thinking about how we were kind of putting the voices of all these different Bitcoiners. Think of like famous Bitcoiners who have, you know, done a lot of podcasts or written books or started businesses and answered a lot of people's questions, and combining all their voices into one. And that was the Spirit of Satoshi. So I had the idea, what if I created a like a mini documentary of 21 Bitcoiners, each giving an answer to the top 21, like most frequently asked questions, the most important questions for newbies to understand, and answering each of those in really just in 1 minute, and making it approximately 21 minute long mini documentary. Well, a lot of things didn't pan out. I wasn't able to find 21 people who would get back with me and wanted to answer some of those questions. But I did. I was able to get a lot of written answers when people were just submitting them to me, and I was able to curate all those questions. And so that gave me the idea to switch gears from doing it as a video, because I guess one other problem was there's some questions that really, really required a lot more depth. You could not answer it in any kind of meaningful sense in 60 seconds. So instead I decided to turn it into a book. So the book is structured where, except for like the intro and the conclusion at the end and a few things like that, that I wrote, everything else is written by other people. You'll see well-known names in there, like Natalie Brunel, Alexander Svetsky, Guy Swan. fun story, actually. I asked all these people who I reached out to pick 3 to 5 of these questions to answer. Just write your answer. It can be short and long. Doesn't matter. Just go and give me your answer and I'll put it here in the book. Guy Swan, that animal, he chose 18 out of the 21 questions to answer. I love that guy so much. His voice was in my ear all the time when I was driving for FedEx. And so I really admire him. I look up to him, and he's my Bitcoin, what does he call it again? Bitcoin professor. Yeah. Anyway. So the idea when I started to make 21 questions into a book was to create a book series of it, where I'll take 21 of the most common and most important questions to ask about other topics. So just starting with Bitcoin, I felt like that was the one I was, the most knowledgeable about. I felt the most confident talking about. I also felt like it was one of the most important topics. But then I was going to reach out to other people who were experts in their fields. So I have plans to do the 21 questions, top 21 questions about homeschooling, top 21 questions about self-defense, top 21 questions about homesteading. But right now I'm working on the second 21 questions book, the top 21 questions about Noster. So what I discovered after writing the one about Bitcoin was that it was this really excellent tool. If someone just said, yeah, I've heard of Bitcoin and I just don't understand it. I don't even know where to start. I just thought I could just hand this book to them. You don't have to read the book from beginning to end. They themselves don't have to. They could open up to the table of contents and maybe question 4 stands out to them, or maybe number 19. And they're like, oh, hey, I've had that question. A lot of us, I've discovered, have questions about lots of things or anything we don't know much about, but we don't know what those questions are often. We don't know how to articulate them. But when we read it there, I'm like, oh, and we're like, oh, hey, yeah, I've wondered about that. Then they can just flip to that chapter, and they're not just getting my answer. They're not getting the Spirit of Satoshi's answer. Now, the Spirit of Satoshi, he does give an answer at the end of every chapter for each of the 21 questions. But so like you'll turn to one of the chapters and it'll say, you'll have a little intro about the question, kind of expounding on a little bit. And then Guy Swan's answer, Samson Mao's answer, Tomer Strohlite's answer, and so on. That way, the reader gets different answers from different perspectives to give them a really good, well-rounded idea of the answer, rather than just, hey, this is the answer. There is no the answer to these questions. There's a lot of different takes, a lot of different perspectives about it. All saying similar things, but and then kind of the dual purpose of this. So basically this book is a great orange peeling tool, but then what it also does is, what if somebody has question number 22 is what I call it in my head all the time. Some other question that's not covered in the book. Now they are thoroughly orange pilled. They're buying Bitcoin, but they have some question about how to run a node. I don't know, something like that. And certain specific things, getting more into the weeds about Bitcoin, that isn't really great for people brand new to it. Those things aren't covered in those 21 questions. But now they have a list. It's like of 16 or 17 different people who are really well known, really knowledgeable, really trusted in the space that they can turn to. They already know who this Guy Swan person is, or Knut Svanholm or something. They're not going to run to BitBoy or something and say, hey, should I buy other cryptocurrencies? Which is actually one of the questions in the book. Should I buy other cryptocurrencies? But they're not going to run to somebody else like that who's less than reliable, to say the least, and ask them those kinds of questions, tag them on Twitter or something. They'll go to the people who they're now familiar with these names. Or maybe there's someone else they're following on Twitter who then retweets someone that they already read about in the book. Like, oh, hey, I'm a Natalie Brunell person. And then maybe they're watching a thing on the news that she shows up on. Like, yeah, she's here in this book that I just read. To give that kind of connection with people there that like, okay, this is someone I can rely on. This is someone I can trust. And so it kind of does that dual purpose of orange pilling people and helping them to continue their Bitcoin journey long after they finish reading the book.
So Jason, how do you go about, so let's talk about the Bitcoin, 21 questions about Bitcoin first. No, we'll talk about the Nostin bit. How do you ensure that the 21 questions that make the cut are the right ones? Do you source them from somewhere? Is it just through your experience learning about Bitcoin? How did you choose those?
Yeah, a little bit of a mixture, actually. So I was noticing a lot of the same questions coming up when we were training the Spirit of Satoshi. And so those ones definitely made it in there. I mean, question number one, what is Bitcoin? And that's kind of an obvious one to start with. But there were also, me looking back and thinking, okay, what were the top questions I had? Then when I've talked to people in person as well as online, which questions came up a lot? So it was partly... I remember when I first gathered the top list of the questions that are most asked to the Spirit of Satoshi model, like after it was live, after it was going, I came up with like 67, I think, or something. And then there were a few that were kind of duplicates. They covered a lot of the same ground. And so I summed those up into one question. And then there were a few, once I had it down to like 25 or something, there were a few I had to make a call on and say, yeah, I think this one doesn't belong in the list, but there are some close calls. It's been too long, been like a year since I last looked at that list, at like the big, big list. So I wouldn't be able to tell you from memory what some of those ones that were almost made the cut. But also one thing that helped to narrow it down was I decided early on to separate all 21 of the questions into three different groups with 7 questions each. So there's part one of the book is simply called Bitcoin. Part two is called economics. And then part three is misconceptions. So part three is really where I go into responding to kind of the top 7 FUD things out there, like the environment and inflation versus deflation and things like that. That's right. And so there's some that didn't really fit into any of those categories, or they're like, I had 7 that really, really worked. But this 8th one that is a really good question, it doesn't really work well for, say, the economics category. It belongs in economics, but compared to the other 7 I've already chosen for economics, no, it doesn't come close. And so there are different questions like that in different situations. And so that helped me to narrow it down as well.
So you said Chattanooga Bitcoin is Bitcoin Chat with two mm-hmm. T's. Did you found that?
Yes.
So how many people strong? Do you think if you just general number?
Probably roughly around 10, like 8 to 12.
And it revolves. I mean, you'll have some new, some old, some come to everyone, some show up every 3 months or so. Mm-hmm. So you get a lot of questions. So you kind of can gauge some of the more popular questions, I'm sure, just from real life communication running a meetup like that.
Yeah. And from 2018 till earlier in 2022, I think, or maybe it was shortly after I found Noster. So for a few years there, I was running the Bitcoin group on MeWe, it was the social media app that I mentioned earlier. Being very, very strict, this is Bitcoin only, Bitcoin maximalism, and one of the main topics on there was all about Bitcoin versus the altcoins and all of crypto and stuff. And so I got to talk to a lot of people, a lot of education that I was giving there. A lot of times, most of the times, just saying, "Hey, listen to this podcast, read this article. This answers all your questions." It just saved a lot of time for me too. So I guess only now, like literally right now, I'm realizing, oh, that probably played a big role in the development of the 21 Questions book.
Asked questions is a big customer service tool.
Yes. And there's a whole thing you can give to people that is, it's kind of frequently asked questions, but curated to the 21 most important. So like, mm-hmm. sure, one might be.
And not so much not. Just frequently questions, but also the important theory to grasp the full extent of what Bitcoin truly is beyond the monetary use case.
So I
want to focus on that chat for a minute, the Bitcoin mm-hmm. chat meetup, because I think it's important that, you know, community builders in the audience understand, break out of the bunker, start something. How did that start? What was your initial traction? How'd you choose the location? What was your kind of growth plan to begin?
Oh, wow. A whole lot of throwing mud at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Was it a bit hopeless at times when you first started? You're like, okay, no one's coming, or just kind of maybe just give me a little zoom out of what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So I cannot describe how much the hopelessness was hitting. It was just crushing at times. My oldest son, also named Jason Jr., is 17 now. And back then, he was actually coming with me to every Bitcoin chat as moral support. also make it look to anybody else who came that, hey, there's at least somebody else there. But so going to the other meetup that was a crypto meetup, where, side note, they literally told people, I went there, stayed for about half the time. So for the first half, they were telling everyone, okay, here are all these different cryptos, different like DeFi projects or something like that, that you should totally get into. And they actually said they all have back doors. They like the people, the devs who made these things can steal your money. These are not private. Your private key is not private at all. But these are the ones we think are going to pump. So these are the ones are going to recommend that you go ahead and buy and then quickly sell before the devs can steal your money. Like, they're just outright scams, and they're encouraging people to get into these. And then halfway through, they say, okay, let's split up noobs in that room and veterans over here. A few of you veterans go to the noobs and help them get set up, and we're going to talk. And that's when I said, okay, I'm done here, and just walked to the elevator. But
and Jason, real quick, that was 2021, you said?
Yeah, so that was September.
Bobby, weren't you in Chattanooga at that time?
I certainly was not.
You're a veteran. You're in the veteran room.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, the reason I asked, Jason, is so I have a shitcoin pass, as does QW. And one way or the other. The last Shitcoin meetup I attended was sometime in 2017. Yeah, sometime in 2017. And it was, the memory is a bit fuzzy right now. It's been 7 years, and, I've I've purified my soul at the altar of Satoshi since then. So it's, you know, some of these things are hard to remember. But what I do remember is it was almost entirely about how to get rich quick, right? There's almost the entire conversation is focused on how to make dollars quickly on whatever this crypto thing is. Very little about, you know, deep and meaningful cultural or societal impact that you get in some Bitcoin meetups. I wouldn't say every single one, but some. Is it still the case? And maybe 2021 was your last foray into a shitcoin meetup, but it sounds like that was still the case, right?
Yeah, and I was a Bitcoin maxi back in 2017 during the block size wars and stuff. So yeah, my dabbling in cryptos, I never actually physically dabbled into it in another cryptocurrency. My thumb did hover over the buy button at one point in 2016, 17, I don't know, somewhere around there, to buy some Ethereum. So I almost did. And then I was like, hang on. I spent like 2 weeks or a little more than 2 weeks studying Bitcoin. I just heard about Ethereum like an hour ago. What am I doing? And backed off, and then I learned some more and said nope, not gonna touch that. But no, there's other ways I definitely was sucked in by the fiat system and stuff. That maybe a story for another time, but a fiat system and other kind of, you know, scammy stuff. But I went to that meetup because I didn't know. I wanted to gauge how Bitcoin maximalist-ish is it versus not. And it totally wasn't. Like, these people were, if anything, anti-maximalists. There was actually one person who was helping to set up that meeting, like helping to run that meeting, who has now come to Bitcoin chat several times. And this last bear market was enough to get him out of all the altcoins. And now he's a maxi. He last came to my meetup a few months ago, but he had some other busy stuff going on in his life. So I don't blame him for not coming back for a while. Anyway, though, you're asking. Oh, yeah. So earlier, I think it was QW was asking. I wasn't looking at the screen at the time, just kind of staring off in the distance. Was asking. About like how did I choose a spot? How did I choose location? So I actually chose the same location, just a different day. I contacted the people in charge of this building that is owned by a university here that they do. They had a bunch of meeting rooms and stuff, and different floors have different, laboratory sort of things on there. And just they were saying, hey, we're open to the public. If you want to come in here and have a meeting of some kind, you have to schedule it beforehand and claim the room and stuff and kind of check it out. But yeah, check it out like a library book. Anyway, I called them, talked to them about that and set it up. And then I just had to get the word out. And that was interesting. You know, I created an account on Twitter, tried to get the word out that way. But of course, like pretty much everyone I was connected to, if I shared anything from the Bitcoin chat account on Twitter, it would just go out to all my followers and none of them were in Chattanooga. So that wasn't really going to help. Like, maybe we'd find somebody out there, but what are the chances they'd be interested in Bitcoin? So I literally went around downtown with flyers, like physical paper flyers that I had printed out with all the information about the when and the where and what we were going to talk about, all about Bitcoin and everything. And asked business owners. So I went to different businesses where they had like a cork board or something, some kind of bulletin board where people would put up business cards and stuff, and just said, hey, can I put this up on here? And so for a little while, that's what I was doing. I just hit the pavement and I was just hoofing it around to put those up everywhere. And then for the first, let's see. So in first meetup was on October 1st, 2021. I actually looked back later and found the exact block height. On the avatar for Bitcoin chat down, like there's a little spot there where I put the exact block height for when, the first meetup started. But just kind of a fun fact there anyway. Sorry. I keep jumping all over the place. I apologize. And so for the first several months up until January or February 2022, we're just meeting once a month and one person was coming each month. But for a while there, it was a different one person. So it was me, my oldest son, and one person who's like, yeah, I saw this flyer and I just want to come check it out. Check out what the meetup is. They would ask questions about Bitcoin. To this date, I have not seen any of those single individuals ever again. Like, none of them ever came back. Even as the group got bigger and we started getting regulars and stuff. So then in February or March of 2022, there was another guy who was starting up a Bitcoin chat meetup. He didn't see the opportunity for the pun. He just did Bitcoin chat with one T. I saw that he set it up on meetup.com and he hadn't seen that I already had one going. So I reached out to him and said, hey, how about we join forces? Like whatever you're doing, let's keep doing that and let's just merge. And if you already know anybody coming to your meetup, I didn't know if maybe I just hadn't seen it. Maybe he'd set it up a year before and I just hadn't seen it. And turned out, no, he had just set it up right then. So we joined forces and for a little while we were running it together. He has since moved out of the state. And so now I'm just running it. And so then we had to choose just different places. Like, you know, whenever I had some time off or some time to do this, I would drive around the Chattanooga area looking for maybe a restaurant, a bar, or some kind of place to let us meet, because the if I recall correctly, I'm trying to remember the day of the week it was. I could look back on a calendar, but it wasn't on a Saturday because it was too difficult to get that room, that building that I was starting to meet in, to get that on a Saturday. And so it was like a Thursday or something. But that wasn't working out for very many people. So I had to find a place that was more accessible, didn't have to check out beforehand and claim beforehand, didn't have to, I just didn't have to jump through as many hoops. So we could just go there on a Saturday. This other guy I was working with, his name's Dan. He and I were, we eventually found a hotel, the Moxie Hotel in Chattanooga. And we met there in the lobby for a little while, but it was just really loud. Then we tried the public library there for a little while, but a lot of people coming to the meetup who are regulars were very uncomfortable going to a government building, a government-owned building for a Bitcoin chat. So then we backed off from there. And then we discovered a place called the Agora. That while they're more in favor of Monero, the owner does own some Bitcoin as well, and they do agree pretty much with the Bitcoin ethos, and they had an extra room, meeting room place that we could meet at, that's where we're meeting now. And in fact, our next meetup is tomorrow. We're doing a Christmas party potluck with White Elephant Gift Exchange. And give away some Bitcoin themed presents, but they don't have to be that. We're doing that from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock tomorrow. If anyone listening to this, if they're listening to this like in the next couple hours or so, they're free to come join us.
But Jason, certainly that's it sounds like a lot of tender love and care, persistence and perseverance went into the creation of this meetup.
Yeah.
So kudos to you for that. I do want to, so Jason, we talked about the 21 questions for Bitcoin book, right? And now what you're working on currently is the 21 questions for Noster. And I know you did touch upon it a little bit, but I guess I'll ask the same question again. What was the process behind choosing those 21 Noster questions?
So this time I came out in a different angle, because I'm not using the Spirit of Satoshi. We're not going to train the Spirit of Satoshi on Noster at all. So instead, this time I opened it up to the community of people on Noster, Noster plebs. And First, I came up with a bunch of questions that I thought should probably be in there, but way more than 21. And then I reached out to the community and posted on Noster, did hashtag Ask Noster to make sure it got out there to a lot of people, and got several replies from people. I actually created a form where people could choose the questions that they thought were good, that should be in the book, and which ones weren't. So this way, you could just be open up to the community, kind of open source this whole process, to help me narrow it down. And I apologize that I forget which question this was. There was one. I got down to 22 questions, and there was one that I was like, it was like one set. So there are two different questions. Like, this is like, both of these are kind of in spot 21, not in the order that they'll be in the book, but kind of like as far as best to least best. They're two kind of tied for last place, and had to make a call. And that one, I admit I had to make that call myself and had to put myself in the shoes of someone brand new to it. Also, it was easy. My wife was still brand new to it. My wife has a Noster, NSEC and NPUB, but she doesn't use it. But she does have one. I was able to get her onto it. She doesn't really use social
Mine
media.
Mine too. I think she checks on me from time to time if I go quiet in the other room or something. You know, like, what the hell's he up to?
Yeah. What my wife actually did, the only way I could talk her into it wasn't to use like Domus or Amethyst or Primal or any of those. It was actually to use Satlantis, because Satlantis allows a user to get on and create just a username and password. And in the background, they get an NSEC. And maybe they don't even know about Noster. They don't have to know about any of that. But the NSEC stays on their on their device, and it doesn't come out to us as Atlantis at all. It stays encrypted there on the device. And so that was enough for her. It's like, okay, if it's just a username, password, and I need to give it my email address as just a backup in case I forget my password, fine, I'll do that. It's kind of how she was. So she has an account on Atlantis, and therefore she has a Noster, NSEC, and NPUB, but she doesn't use it. She's just being there to support me and help me out in that way, be another person, another Atlantis user, but she's not, at least not yet, not really using it. I have told her. So she's actually, we're part of a homeschool association, and she is the vice president of the local association here. And I've told her, yeah, she should totally use Atlantis to put events. So for anyone who doesn't know Atlantis, you can post events, and these events are Noster events, no pun intended, but like, these are like meet space events. All the Bitcoin chat meetup events go on there, and a lot of other Bitcoin meetups are listed on there in the different cities on Satlantis. And when you post on Satlantis, it goes out to all of Noster, and you know, you can log in with your Noster private key. You can use you can sign in with Albi or keys.band or any others like that. So it is a Noster client. You can even post something from like Primal, and it will show up on Satlantis. You do have to hashtag the city and have a picture there, because all the feed on Satlantis is made to look like Instagram. But yeah, and so it is in every way a Noster client. But and so I was telling my wife anyway that when there's different activities, different events that are open to the public, not just open to our homeschool association, but maybe to parents that are thinking of homeschooling, they can come to those. And so I've encouraged her to get on there and create one of those events. There hasn't been one yet since she made her account, but hopefully later when there's one that where it's like a kind of an open house for people to come check out the homeschooling association called CHEA, actually CHEA, then she can create that on Satlantis, and then that's how she can share it. Just share the URL to Satlantis. Repeat your question though about that's right, it was about how did the questions get chosen. So going back to that, I had to put myself in her shoes and other people's shoes. I did ask her as well, and she gave her two sats about it, and so then I was able to narrow it down to 21 questions that way. So yeah, it was mostly a community effort with a little bit of a tiebreaker for me.
Got it. So in you've obviously been on Noster for 2 years now, Jason, and you know, fairly good understanding of it, right? To the extent that you're even putting together these 21 questions. So based on your time with Noster and in collecting some of the answers to these 21 questions, where do you see the biggest opportunity for growth in Noster?
Honestly, and I say this with bias, both as a meetup organizer and as someone working from working at Satlantis, the ambassador concierge there at Satlantis. So with that bias understood there, it's really in connecting with people in meet space, having a way of knowing, like, hey, this is my NPub. Like, so you meet with someone in person, they say, this is my NPub, go ahead and follow me. And there's now a way, like if you meet someone in person, you know it's that person right there, unless there's like some really clever disguise that I don't know if you even have the technology for, but you see in like Mission Impossible movies and stuff like that. Barring that possibility, when you meet someone in real life, you know that they are who they say they are. You know you're actually talking to them, generally, of course, you know, it's like in normal interactions. Well, if they say, yeah, here's my NPub, now you know that this person online is that person from real life. And so it really connects the online world and the real world. And so I think if we develop ways on Noster to, I guess, yeah, if we improve the event experience, like the meet space event experiences, sharing that on Noster, then Noster and the internet in general can become more of a tool. This is actually one reason why I'm really excited about Satlantis, because it's a tool that helps you enhance your real life, your meet space experience. So that lets you get out there and get some sunlight, gather that vitamin D, rather than doom scrolling. Just get sucked in and scroll and scroll and scroll. Look at the next meme and the next meme. I'm so guilty of that. I've done that so many times. But I think Noster could really be a tool for getting people back into real life and off of their screen. The screen and the stuff on it can be a tool to then enhance what happens in real life. And so I think if we frame it like that and have it so that when we meet someone in real life who isn't on Noster, then we can help them get on Noster. And yeah, that will help boost more activity on Noster and a lot of people to zap more. And that can be a great orange pilling opportunity for a lot of people who aren't into Bitcoin, but have gotten onto Noster. It can help with all those things. But, and then help us to build more meaningful relationships.
Now, you said, Jason, that you're an ambassador or concierge mm-hmm. for Satlantis. What does that mean exactly?
So I am both the ambassador on Satlantis for the city of Chattanooga, but I'm also the ambassador concierge for all of Satlantis. So first, the ambassador concierge, first I'll explain that. That role at Satlantis, I am basically in charge of all the ambassadors. I reach out to them, contact them, answer their questions, help them use Satlantis. I help onboard people to become ambassadors on Satlantis. I do a lot of that. I do that a lot. To be an ambassador on Satlantis, that basically means you are someone who knows your city, your home area really well. If I or someone else were coming to visit your town, and I wanted to know, okay, where are the best hotels? Where is the safe areas of town versus the dangerous areas of town? Where are the best restaurants? Hey, I'm bringing my kids with me. What activities are there in that city for them? Anything like that, anything at all, then you would be able to answer those kinds of questions. You don't need to be an expert about your city, but still, just you'd be able to help out with that. And so all the ambassadors are people who the vast majority of them are meetup organizers, but they're people who kind of represent their city. And there can be any number of ambassadors in each city. There's some cities like 4 or 5 or 6 ambassadors. And in Chattanooga, it's just me for now. And I'm not an expert about my city at all. I've been, a recluse a lot, I guess, especially since I started working from home at NOAA and then Spirit of Satoshi. But and raising my kids a lot and not going out with my wife, you know, on the town and stuff and hitting another bar and stuff. No, and I don't even drink alcohol, so I wouldn't do that anyway. But there's a lot about my town that I don't know, and I would be happy to hand over that torch to somebody else if someone else is totally an expert on in my local area. But yeah, so ambassadors are really just that go-to person for if someone is coming to visit. Now, there's actually some things we developed on Satlantis that make this very passive. So you don't have to be an active go-to person. In fact, I know very, very few stories where an ambassador is like regularly, helping visitors, answering questions and stuff on Satlantis or elsewhere. because yeah, we have it set up where ambassadors can choose their favorite locations, and we get those locations put onto the merchant map. And so on our side at Setlantis, we're actually putting together, we're curating a list of places that in all the different cities on Setlantis, places that maybe offer a carnivore menu or a seed oil free or a vegan for people who might be interested in that. And places just have the highest ratings, some of the best places. And then we're reaching out to the ambassadors and saying, hey, you know your area best. Tell us what locations of any kind, restaurant, hotel, anything. And we will add it to our merchant map. The idea then with that merchant map, once we have, and we already do have a lot of locations in lots of different cities, we're then going to be reaching out, and the ambassadors will reach out to those, like their favorite restaurant. Let's say it's the place that they and their wife go every Friday or something for date night, and they're regulars at some place. They can then go to that place and say, hey, you know, there's this new website called Setlantis. You should totally get on it. You'll get a lot more exposure there. So the restaurant owner checks it out, and oh, look at that. There's a bunch of people in my own city on here. And they can claim their account. So like the little pin there on the map is kind of like a placeholder for them. So if they can prove, like using like posting it through Google and stuff, kind of like how some people were proving early on in Noster, hey, this is me from Twitter. I'm posting this code on Twitter. See, this is proof of it. Similar kind of setup like that. They can then claim their account and then post as their business on Noster. On Setlantis, which then goes out to everyone on Noster. And so it's a great way for them to extend their reach and expand their audience. And then when they're doing that and they start seeing that people are zapping each other and everyone, virtually everyone using Setlantis and Noster are Bitcoiners, now they see, oh, all these people could be my clients or my customers if I start accepting Bitcoin. And so we really want to frame this as a, like when talking to businesses, as a sly roundabout way kind of accepting Bitcoin, of getting people onto a Bitcoin standard. And we won't say that to them. We won't reframe that to them, obviously. We'll just let nature take its course. They'll get on Noster and then let them start to slide down the Bitcoin rabbit hole without even knowing that they are already going down the Noster rabbit hole. They're already on Noster. Anyway, I've gone on to a lot of different tangents. But yeah, does that answer your question about ambassadors, kind of the role they play, and my role as ambassador concierge?
No, that's certainly helpful, Jason. So what is the current state of adoption on Setlantis? Well, or do you just, is it not possible to measure because it's just Noster adoption is Setlantis adoption? How do you look at the number of active Setlantis users?
So there are ways we can check to see, like when if a post is made through Setlantis, or say if it was made on Amethyst and then shows up on Setlantis. But yeah, there are a lot of. It is difficult to gauge that, to gauge those numbers. But Setlantis is still very early. We have a lot planned though in the pipeline, and we're gonna make it basically like the definitive app for anything meat space related. So events and merchants, which yeah, sure. There's going to be the feed on there that's not necessarily meat space, but, and then just a lot of information about the city itself. So like whenever somebody becomes an ambassador for their city, we ask them to fill out a survey, and the survey, they answer like 1 to 5 rating on a bunch of different questions. How bad is the traffic there? How is the crime? How are the schools? Just all kinds of things like that, to then give people some really good, like a snapshot metric where they can see all the ratings there. And if there's more than one ambassador, then their answers will average out. In the future, we plan to open that up to all Setlantis users and have the ability for people to rate not just the city as a whole, but also go to the different merchants on the merchant map and rate and review those. And this is actually something that is really exciting, that, and it's not available yet, but what we're developing right now is basically a way of reviewing businesses in your hometown or any other business you go to, and in any other town, and you only see the ratings from other people that are relevant to you. And we're going to leverage Noster's social graph in order to do that. So rather than seeing some, so you're checking out a restaurant you want to go to, and you see someone give it 1 star, but you don't know who this person is. But you don't know if they have the same interests in you, the same values, or anything. Then you see someone who you follow on Noster, and they give it 5 stars. You follow them, you love the kind of work this person does, you listen to every single one of their podcasts, and they give it 5 stars. Chances are you're going to like that place too. And so what we plan to do is leverage everyone's social graph so that you'll see right at the very top all the people who you follow, maybe the people who they follow as well, and all of their ratings and reviews. And then it'll get kind of, as you scroll down farther, it might be people who are less connected to you further away on your social graph. But it'll be weighted like that. So reviews for locations, and then also we'll just do this for the whole city as well. Reviews for the whole city will be exactly the kind of things that'll be the most relevant to you and your interests and your values. And Noster is really the thing that makes that possible. Like you can do sort of a thing where you can log into a website using Facebook or Google and stuff, but it's not internet wide. It's not across a bunch of different apps. Noster being this identity layer for the whole internet really makes that very, very possible. But not only are we early days with Setlantis, we're still early days with Noster. And frankly, there's not enough people yet who would be able to make reviews like that. So this is going to be a process for a little while as Noster and Setlantis grow in the number of users.
What other competitors would you say, Jason, for? Right. I mean, you are clearly competing for mind space of a certain mm-hmm. type of user who, and presumably there are other apps, maybe not on Noster necessarily, but
I feel like it's like a kind of a combustion of like BTC Map and TripAdvisor type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I was just me not knowing, all of the, but if I was like explaining to someone, that's my knowledge of it. It's kind of like, it may be a little bit more to it.
Yeah. There's meetup.com, TripAdvisor, Instagram, BTC Map. Let's see, but we have more locations than just what's on BTC Map. A lot of those locations, like I was saying earlier, they don't accept Bitcoin yet, but that's kind of one of the points of Setlantis to help help give them an incentive to start accepting Bitcoin.
Actually, Jason, on that real quick, right, and I'll let you get back to the broader point. On the fact that you have more locations than BTC Map, is that because you pulled from public APIs these locations? The BTC Map's approach is, I think they go location by location, right? And it depends on the reporting of each location, and then they're doing some kind of proof of place that's in the works. In your case, are you pulling from like Google APIs or some other APIs to get all of these locations that don't accept Bitcoin?
There are a few ways that we're scraping some places. Like I said, like any place, any other maps that already use, like already curating some of that information, carnivore locations, seed oil free locations, things like that. But a lot of the ones I was referring to, what I was thinking about when I said that earlier, was places that are specifically recommended by the ambassador. So the ambassador mm-hmm. who knows that place and is like, oh yeah, this place it makes great food. And this place, the prices are so affordable, and anything like that, any reason at all that they would recommend it to a visitor. Sometimes the visitors are local. Sometimes it's just people who, their noses to the grindstone all the time. They don't get the chance to go out, but then Valentine's Day comes along and they want to find a good place to go out on a date, to take their wife out to or something. And I'm speaking from experience here. And then they look on the map although I didn't do this last Valentine's Day because Setlantis wasn't built out then. But anyway, they can look on there and go, which one of these places looked best? Because it's already curated from people who, at least so far, because everyone using Setlantis is a Bitcoiner, people who share a lot of the same values that I do. And so if there's someone who, I would give an example, actually, not a specific example for a location, but there's a city near here, near Chattanooga, called Cleveland. So not the Ohio one, Cleveland, Tennessee. And it's also on Setlantis. The ambassador there is also a meetup organizer of the meetup called the Bitcoin Remnant. And he actually comes to Bitcoin Chat because it's like a 35, 40 minute drive or something between us. And so he comes to Bitcoin Chat, and I often, as often as I can, I go to Bitcoin Remnant. And anyway, though, he knew a lot of places. He lived there in Cleveland for a lot longer than I've lived in the Chattanooga area. And I've lived here for about 10 years or so, but he grew up in Cleveland. And so he knew a lot of different places to recommend. And so, and he's really into healthy living, not just healthy food and stuff, but healthy living and all natural type things. And he knew that I was as well. See, common values there. And, you know, he's a Bitcoiner. He's been accepting Bitcoin in his own business for a while. And he was able to put a lot of different businesses on there. And fun fact, he was actually the very first business on Setlantis. His business is called Divine Design Natural Health. And it was the very, very first one to claim its account on Setlantis. It was kind of a historic moment that happened a little while ago.
Real quick, Jason, what is the onboarding process for merchants to, I guess, to claim their location and say, hey, I accept Bitcoin, I'm here, right? Or whatever it is. How do they, do you have a separate flow, user flow for merchants?
Yeah, and it's very automated. They click on the location for them. Now, if they're not already on there, they'll need to reach out to the ambassador and say, hey, could you please add me to the map here? That's currently. Later on, we'll have the ability to, we haven't built this out yet, but the ability for someone to add a location onto the map. But if their location is already on there, they click on it and open up the business page for them. And there'll be a little button that just says claim. They do that and it gives them a picture. And well, it asks them like, do you want to create a brand new account for this business? Or do you want to tie this business to your current account you're currently signed into? And then once they do that, maybe set up a new account for their business, either way. Then it gives them a picture they need to post through Google, as well as a little message with a random code. And so once they do that, they open up their Google account because all these locations are on Google Maps. So they open up like the Google Maps account there and post it through their business's account. Then they go back to Setlantis and say, okay, I posted it. And then our systems scan Google, look for that. Oh, they say, okay, post it. That's right. They share the link with Setlantis, like with us, the link to their post. And so then our systems check. And if they see the image there, and they see the code there, then it's all good. Like, okay, they've just proven that they are that business, that they own that account at least. And then they've officially claimed their business. And then from then on, they can post as their business.
Gotcha. Now, fascinating stuff there, Jason. So just to circle this back to the 21 questions about Nostr book, is there anything that you'd want our audience to know about that book? When to expect it?
Unfortunately, I don't know.
Well,
don't
Avi, have exact when, but... You go ahead. Might want to work on some of the questions, Avi. When can we expect your portion?
Soon, TM.
Same answer here. My goal is first quarter 2025, sometime in there. But Setlantis stuff lately has been going crazy. And one thing actually I'm going to be doing throughout 2025 is traveling around to different meetups and conferences. Talking about Setlantis mainly, and helping people get onto Setlantis and Nostr, start posting their events onto Setlantis, I cannot express how excited I am to do that. I love meeting people in person, getting out of my shell, out of my bubble here, and you know, shaking people's hands and looking them in the eye, and building actual relationships, and then. Later on, you know, if we talk online, then we're like, oh, hey, yeah, I remember when we met. So I'm going to be doing that throughout the year 2025. Starting, I believe, well, besides Bitcoin Chat in January and Bitcoin Remnant at the beginning of January, the first Saturday of every month is when Bitcoin Remnant meets. So besides that, I think the first conference I'll be going to will be down in El Salvador for the Plan B Forum. Let's see. Oh yeah. So because of, I'll be busy doing that as well. All I can, the closest I can give right now for an estimate for the Nostra Edition 21 questions is somewhere in that first quarter. But yeah, it does depend a lot on when I get more questions back. And I'm not just waiting for questions from Avi or for answers. I'm not just waiting. I haven't just reached out to Avi. I've reached out to a lot of other people. This time, people who are very well known about well known in the Nostra space, people who are very knowledgeable about how Nostra works. Some people who are very well known in Bitcoin, they're not even on Nostra, or they made an account and they haven't posted anything in a year. And then so maybe not so much those people, the people who helped out with the first book.
Jason, in my defense, I half my questions are in, or half my answers are
yes,
in.
Yes.
So Avi, I gotta ask, because Nostra is such an evolving space and it's so fresh, and you know, the Nostra we know today might be Nos Fabrica tomorrow, which is going to be working with health data. There's so many different avenues Nostra goes. It's gonna be interesting to look at these 21 questions, let's say in a decade's time, and say, I got a lot more questions or more that Nostra has evolved to. And I feel like that 21 questions in Nostra might be at its current state because of how much it does evolve. But I'm sure there's fundamentals within those 21 questions, right?
Mm-hmm. I've tried to keep the questions pretty vague. Not vague, that's the wrong word.
Timeless,
broad,
Jason.
Broad, timeless, yeah. again, easy ones are... what is it again? Oh yeah, just like, you know, what is Nostra? Let's see. I actually opened up a list of all of them. What is Nostra? Who created Nostra? Why do we need Nostra? Those are the first three questions, and just goes on. I'm not going to.
What is PlebChain Radio? And it goes on with that. Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, question five. What are the most popular Nostra apps, and how do they compare? Maybe somebody could answer a question about that and add about Nostra Ness being technically a Nostra app, Nostra client.
We're world renowned gentle plebs meet on Fridays. Hey, I gotta ask Jason, are you still in the garage?
Yes.
Is the family freezing right now?
No,
I have not heard the heater kick on during the show. And I'm starting to worry about them.
It actually kicked on earlier and already turned off maybe once or twice. for everyone listening, before the show got started, we were talking about that and the heater was going and I was like, there's some background noise. What is that? Like, yeah, well, right here is a heater. Actually, if you heard a little papery sound there, there's a poster.
When you have six children, your podcast space is limited, and I have one. And when I first started the show, we just had moved everything out of what was going to be his bedroom, so I was literally just stuck in between stacks of boxes and furniture. It's amazing what happens and where you find space to do podcasts.
Yep. I am going to be on some other podcasts pretty soon here. And most of them are going to be visual as well. So we're going to work that out. I do have a green screen down here in the garage. So that'll probably use, but because that way people watching,
you know,
will have to see.
I appreciate a raw look, you know, just a raw, just full on pleb. That's the way we roll.
Yep.
So Jason, what else are you working on? Anything else in the pipeline? We've obviously talked about Satlantis, the 21 questions book. I mean, you do have six kids, so I assume that keeps your hands full, but is there any chance of something else in the mix here?
Let me see. I really thought there was something else. It's like, I feel like it's on the tip of my tongue, but maybe I'm just thinking of our Christmas party tomorrow for Bitcoin Chat. Let me think.
Yeah, anybody in the Chattanooga area that happens to be listening, because we're posting this show today, Friday the 20th, check out Bitcoin Chat. Bring some food to the potluck.
Yeah. And bring a white elephant gift to give away, and then you can get one too. I've been telling people it doesn't have to be Bitcoin related, but I'm going to bring several, and so a few extras in case some people just didn't get the memo. I'm just going to give away these things.
Plenty and of they're fart all coins, related. Fart coins on wallets giving out there. So hawk to a low LP.
No.
I believe that young lady might be on her way to prison. Could that be?
I did read a lawyer statement today. I was like, and they're trying to be on the good side, saying if anybody lost money, please contact us. We're trying to get them too. That's crypto, man. It's a dangerous world out there. Just stay humble, get some Bitcoin and study, listen to podcasts, absorb, read the books. Education will free yourself, especially in the Bitcoin world.
And stay away from seed oils.
Yes.
I blame the seed oils for crypto. That's probably what it is. It's a mental disorder. And it's not your fault. It's clearly the FDA's fault.
To say nothing of the Department of Education and everything else in the fiat system. But yeah.
Indeed. Well, Jason, we appreciate you taking the time. Enjoyed this conversation. Learned something new along the way. For folks listening in the Chattanooga area, if it is Saturday the 21st of December and it's not yet evening and you happen to be in Chattanooga at the time you're listening, then head over to the chat meetup where you can meet Jason Holders and talk all things Bitcoin and Nostr with him.
He'll be wearing the Santa Claus suit.
No, we're wearing a Bitcoin hat and a Bitcoin chat t-shirt.
All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot, Jason. Anything else you want to shill a couple show notes? Anything where people can find your work or your products?
Yeah. Well, you can find me personally on Twitter and Nostr. Pretty much everywhere I go is a geeky guy. So it's geek, and then IGAI. If anyone's heard of Ikigai.
Ikigai, yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice. The
Japanese concept of like finding your mission in life. Yeah, and I'm such a geek. And so especially for Bitcoin, I geek out about stuff. So that's why I chose that handle. But yeah, Ikigai on Nostr and Twitter and Telegram and pretty much everywhere. You guys say?
Jason, I was just going to say at the beginning of the show in our sermon, I was bemoaning the fact that I feel trapped in the fiat gulag for various reasons, in essentially saying I haven't found my ikigai. But as it turns out, Jason, at least I met a geeky guy today. So there you go.
Yeah, and you're. Yeah, not everyone's ikigai is in Bitcoin or Nostr, but and mine isn't really specifically Bitcoin. It's education, bettering the world by bettering individuals. I guess I'll wrap up with this, that I like to tell people that I the saying, like, I came for the blank, but I stayed for the blank. I came into Bitcoin for the monetary revolution from like a political perspective, ending the Fed. I was very, very libertarian. Perspective at the time. So I came into Bitcoin for changing the world from the outside in. But then I learned about time preference, learned about how Bitcoin affects that and helps us to lower our time preference. And then recently read the book by Alexander Stetsky, The Bushido of Bitcoin. I highly, highly, highly recommend that book. And all of that is part of the reason why I stay in Bitcoin, to change the world from the inside out.
Excellent.
Avi, you came to Bitcoin for because of XRP, but you stayed because of Ordinals, right?
Exactly. For monkey JPEGs.
He's an enthusiast.
You've heard of your I came for the separation of money and state, and I stayed for the monkey JPEGs.
I love it. Well, hey, Jason, it was so great to have you.
Thank you very much for having me here.
We love these shows, especially when we can shine light on local communities, local meetups around the states, around the world, whatever it be. I think the proof of work that you put in, from flyers to finding venues to getting, you know, your hopes smashed and then rebuilt. Look at how far you've come. And it's not for nothing. And happy Merry Christmas to 6 children and you and your family. That's, you're doing the Lord's work, man. That's amazing. So I really appreciate time you spent today. I know it's tough to find time with that many.
Yeah, but it is tough. But it's I mean 6 kids. They're all worth it. I didn't tell you kind of the age range real quick. They all range between 10 years old and 17 years old. The first 5 do, at least. But then number 6 was a wonderful blessing, wonderful surprise last year. So he'll turn 1 at the beginning of January.
Nice. Mine's 2 January 22nd. So.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. I'm first and only. God bless Generation B. So.
Yep. They get easier. As you have more, they do get easier. And now I have all these teenagers to help hold the baby and stuff. So it's I'm getting spoiled with all of them.
So everybody that's listening, please support Value for Value. Use those boostograms while they're still here, because it might be merging to all Zaps in the future. Please comment, post, repost. Just boost the show any way you can. We want to feel you feel your proof of work through the Fountain app or any podcasting 2.0 on Noster. Please follow us, whatever it may be. We appreciate you. Join the revolution, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and a happy winter solstice.
Thank you.